Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand from Radio Row in Minneapolis.
Wait, are we technically in Minneapolis here?
No.
No, we're in Bloomington.
This is not in Minneapolis?
No. Have you even seen the city yet in the distance?
I don't think I've set foot in Minneapolis yet. St. Paul a couple of times.
Where's the airport? Is that
right next to us? No, we're here. No. Airport's below.
Yeah, the airport's like right there.
I know. I didn't know if
Delta's right
like
there.
The town line was right there.
I don't think so.
Right through those windows.
I'm going to consult a map.
See if we drove through Minneapolis on our way to St. Paul.
No. Other direction.
I know that, but we may have cut the corner somewhere. Check it out.
Check it out, guys.
I haven't seen Minneapolis yet. I don't know that. The stadium is in Minneapolis, so. We'll have to see.
Oh, you'll see it Sunday.
We'll see it
all
on Sunday.
Day.
That'll be my first time seeing it.
Yeah. We're a little all spun around. I've been informed that I said that the Celtics would be playing the Falcons tonight.
That'd be a good game.
And also,
Julio Jones, is he running point?
And Jimmy Stewart told me that yesterday, Big Jim Murray said Dave Gosher would be calling the Bruins game last night.
Nice.
So we're all a little
batting a thousand here.
There hasn't been a lot of sleep. There's been a lot of work. So. You know, we're doing the best we can.
Jimmy Stewart had to be excited that I got tossed by Goldberg, though, at least, you know.
Oh, he had to be thrilled.
I would think.
He touched him.
Couple of thoughts here that I had yesterday.
Yeah.
In reading Jeff Howe's notebook and, you know, providing a lot of quotes from different guys, talks about Malcolm Butler, who still sounds sick, and I tied that into what we talked about with Deion Sanders yesterday, and Deion's really down on Malcolm Butler right now. This might be something we got to worry about in this game, though.
Yeah, because
Malcolm Butler don't seem right based on his quotes.
You know, and the reps and what'd you miss the first 2 days? They kept them back. Hey, there's a flu bug going through the Eagles too. There's some nasty, nasty bug that has sort of run its way through that locker room. But Malcolm could be in a big spot here because I got Stephon Gilmore on Jeffrey in this game. Alshon Jeffrey is going to draw Gilmore. So then it's, you know, how do you match up after that? How much you really want to see Eric Rowe out there in big spots on 3rd and 8, 3rd and 7 scares the hell out of me.
I don't know, man. Eric Rowe's just an inconsistent player for me.
Yeah.
Sometimes he plays great. Sometimes he plays horribly.
Yeah, I haven't seen a good trend for him heading to this game.
No.
I feel really good about Gilmore. Gilmore's trended well heading into this game. And I think he's playing with a lot of confidence and understands the calls, the system, everything. Everything's a go for Gilmore right now. So, I mean.
But Butler is a concern. I'm getting more concerned about that.
Very concerned about Butler.
Health and just his level of play going into this game and what he's missed in the time that he missed at the start of the week and at the end of last week dealing with the flu. Excuse me, an illness. They didn't say confirmed it's the flu, but that's what I think.
It probably is the flu.
Yeah, I think
you're not getting held back from
Pretty sure it was
illness.
The flu. On top of that, Dante Scarnecchia on Monday night when he was asked about a possible return in 2018 dodged the question, and I don't know if he was even dodging the question now. He said, listen, I'm only focused on this game. I'm not talking about next year. I'm only focused on this game on Sunday.
Yeah.
He was talking, so this would have been a couple days ago, at his availability, about Tony Garcia. And this is not a point about Tony Garcia. This is a point about Dante Scarnecchia. I'm going to read you the quote. He said, he's gone through some medical issues, which I will not speak about. He's working hard. He started to gain his weight back. We realized this was going to be a process for him this year. And it's been a process for him. We're going to be extremely patient with this guy, okay? Listen to that. We're going to be extremely patient with this guy. We feel like we owe him that, and he's giving us everything he can in return right now. He's working out every day. I think he's starting to see a trend in a good direction, and we'll see what we've got this spring going into training camp.
He's back.
Yep. I read that, and I thought, okay, Dante Scarnecchia, he may not tell you he's coming back next year, but when I read a quote and he's talking about we're going to be very patient with this guy, we'll see where we're at come training camp. Okay, a guy who's walking away and leaving is probably not saying those things.
Right. No, I agree with you on that. Yeah. And they need him back.
Sounds like he sort of slipped up there, but not that he is slipping up. He just didn't care to answer that question.
Brady's keeping his train rolling, and you get Cannon back next year. We don't know the status of Solder if this is going to be it for him because contracts can be issues. They need a guy like Scarnecchia. They need that guy back.
Yeah, so Scar is talking in future terms and is talking about things that might be happening down the line and talking about next year and the spring. And training camp. He's talking about all these things that I think indicate he's back. and he's going to be there in the spring. He's going to be there next summer for training camp, and he's not calling it quits, which is a damn good sign for the Patriots.
It's one of your best coaches on your staff, if not the best assistant on your staff. You need him back.
Yep.
Need him back.
Very important guy.
Especially with a 41-year-old quarterback. Yes.
Very, very important figure. Meanwhile, Arthur Blank is...
This one pissed me off.
Upset and not happy that Robert Kraft put 283 diamonds in the Patriots' rings. 283 diamonds, of course, for the 28-3 score. Blank told the New York Times that he found it unnecessary and tacky that Kraft would put 283 diamonds in the ring as if to mock the Falcons for the biggest blown lead in Super Bowl history. I said to Robert, you didn't have to do the 28-3 in the ring. It kind of pissed me off.
Oh, good. Well, maybe you didn't have to do the freaking running man when you had an 18-point lead or after the pick six, and you got the lady in red next year with the big red lipstick in her dress, and she's doing it, raising the roof. Yeah, raise the roof. I didn't teach you that way. It's like Michael Scott from The Office. Two non-dancing honkies up there pumping air with their hands. Remember him with the hands out doing he was making the ice cream, churning the butter.
I don't.
18-point lead.
If you're Robert
Kraft
and you're actually confronted face to face with that, I don't know how you respond. Other than you say, "I'm sorry, sweetheart. It was the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history. Do you want me to not acknowledge it with the keepsake that all the players and staff get? Sorry.
Does it make you wonder if that guy knows what he's doing?
Overcoming a 25-point deficit in the Super Bowl, you can acknowledge that in any way you like.
Yeah. It doesn't say anything bad about you.
This take by Arthur Blank requires zero balls, and that's my biggest problem with it. So the only guy you are willing to rip publicly and go out and publicly rip about this is the owner of the team that beat you?
Yeah.
Did he? I'm sorry. Did I miss the quotes where he ripped his head coach? Or ripped his quarterback.
Why are we running the ball?
Coordinators? Or ripped anybody that has Atlanta Falcons associated with them? A sackless take by this guy.
That seems like
this is the reason you should go to Lowe's instead of Home Depot.
A little more.
This is why you should shop at Lowe's.
Stop it.
Shut up.
There's a few more logical targets than the owner of the team. What does Robert Kraft have to do with your team being outscored to that margin in the biggest game that they've ever played in? Robert Kraft's got nothing to do with it.
How could you possibly have time to be pissed about this thing?
Yeah, shouldn't
the time?
Shouldn't
your
you be
mind
retooling?
And focus should be focused on? Oh my God, how did we lose that game?
It's the coolest
how did we manage to lose that game?
Have, out of any of the five rings, it is the coolest aspect that you have 283 diamonds from the 28-3 comeback, monumental comeback.
You know what?
They
I
were
really
dead
like
in the
it.
Water.
And it's not something against Atlanta.
The guys love the ring. The players love it because it means something to them. It's not just a freaking ring that you slap diamonds on. There's a reasoning behind
Robert it. Robert Kraft should have said, it's got nothing to do with you. We would have come back from 28-3 against anybody. Don't take it personally. You know, seriously, it's got nothing to do with Atlanta. You happen to be on the unfortunate end of that game, but nowhere does it say we beat Atlanta after being down 28-3.
No.
So
nope.
Get over it.
And it's not classless, and it's not tacky, and it's not any of those things.
I think it's clever.
It's an acknowledgement of the fact that the score in that ball game was 28-3, and they still won.
Those players will never forget that.
And, yes, there are plenty of people out there that are throwing it in Falcons fans' faces and are using it as a ha-ha Falcons thing. But just because you're acknowledging that score doesn't mean that's what you're doing. Sorry, Falcons. Sorry, Arthur Blank. Why don't you spend some time ripping somebody in your organization? Why don't you spend some time being angry at them publicly since you want to get pissed off? Oh, what a waste. No balls. Takes nothing to say that.
No.
Nothing at all. The only people you're going to upset are Patriot fans. You're playing to your home crowd. It's useless. A useless take. That's what I have on that. Arthur Blank. Team's never going to win jack.
Even when they were poisoned and they were doing well at the end of the regular season and had what seemed like a good playoff run starting, did you ever really believe they were back? They were back from that.
I thought that
absolutely crushing defeat.
I thought talent took
over. The fact
over.
That they went as far as they did, I'm sort of impressed because
they figured it out. They were dead in the water six games in.
I thought they were in trouble midway through the season and they bounced back. I'll give them that.
Yep,
I'll give
I'd have
you know, good teams still lose games sometimes.
I'd have beaten the Rams. That should be a winnable game for them on the road. Young and upstart type Ram team. You should be able to win that game type of talent you have.
But, Hardy, if they ever get back to the Super Bowl with that group, There's zero shot they win the game. None. None.
I'd run the ball on them all day. Keep the ball away from them.
Woo! This hour of Zolak and Bertrand from Radio Row is brought to you by Rahm Diamonds. We're in Bloomington. We're not in Minneapolis. I'm not going to say that. It's only Friday. It's only the fifth day here. What else do we figure out on the fifth day here?
Oh, it'd be great to
Roll through the stop sign in the parking lot of the Holiday Inn Express.
What did we figure out this morning? We were just, what time to leave? What's the best time to leave the hotel?
So we left late. We left as late as we left at any day, and it shaved at least 6 minutes off the drive because no traffic.
I left early today because I was supposed to do the head coach, and there was no traffic when I left super early today.
We left 10 minutes later and got here.
In the same time.
Essentially only 2 minutes later than we were leaving before.
I left at 7 a.m. No traffic.
No traffic out there. Maybe everyone's got the day off.
Friday
traffic.
Getaway day. It's like that up there in Boston.
The CBS Sports Minute brought to you by New Pro Home Improvements. John Feinstein says Tom Brady will be missed when he retires. Now, that is an earth-shattering sports take.
You know what?
Right there.
I didn't think he was ever going to
be
missed.
I mean, that one's a hot one. This one,
get rid of
Feinstein,
the great ones.
Coming in hot, that when Brady's not playing anymore, he might be missed by somebody somewhere. Wow! Coming up next, we'll hear from Patriots receivers coach Chad O'Shea.
Zolak and Bertrand are live at Radio Row at the Mall of America, thanks to Direct Federal Credit Union on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand from opening night in St. Paul for Super Bowl 52. We are now joined by another member of the Patriots coaching staff. It is Chad O'Shea joining us. Chad, how are you?
I'm doing great.
What's different from last year?
You know, this doesn't ever get old. it's a great time. I know the players are excited to be here, and we look forward to a great week in Minnesota.
You guys lose Gronk. Obviously in the middle of that game against Jacksonville. How much did you guys have to throw out the window as far as, he's obviously going to set coverage when he's in the huddle.
Right.
How much changed series to series as that game evolved?
Well, I think that, any time that you lose a player, like Rob, during the course of a game, there's going to have to be some adjustments. I think that's what Josh McDaniels has done such a great job of with the offense here, is be able to adjust, especially during a game, and do what's best for the team. And certainly that's what he did, and that's what he's done all year, and that's what he's done since he's been here. And it's great to have someone leading our offense that has the ability to adjust, and it's also to have great players that can adjust also. I think that's important, is that we've always prided ourselves on having players here that are smart, can be able to adjust, and if you don't have that, you're unable to function when somebody gets hurt like Rob Gronkowski.
Is there something special about Danny Amendola that allows him to have the games that he has had in the big stage playoffs like he has this season and in other seasons?
Yeah, I think that, he is definitely priding himself in those situations to make those plays. And I think it goes back to, I always tell those guys that their dominant habit emerges under pressure. And certainly his habits that he's created over years of working with him, specifically of catching the football, in that time under great pressure, I believe that his habit is doing that real well. And certainly that was a huge deal for us in the playoffs, and he's played so well for us, and he's a clutch player, and so happy to have Danny be a part of our team.
A lot of people will point to the touchdowns and the comeback in the AFC title game. I want to go back to the start of that game. There was the fourth down conversion to him early.
Yeah.
And Tom had a great throw, and everyone talks about the throw, but what about the difficulty of that catch that he made along the sidelines to convert on that fourth down?
Yeah, I think it was as difficult as catch as the one in the back of the end zone. It was definitely what we call a contested catch, where he had to make a great catch with somebody on his back. And, Danny's definitely demonstrated that at practice consistently, that he makes those plays. So it wasn't a surprise that he made it, but it certainly was an exceptional play, and one that, if he doesn't make, it's obviously the outcome is going to be different in that game.
I remember going back my days with Parcells, and we'd be doing install, getting ready for Tuesdays, Wednesdays, our third down package,
right,
whether it's red zone. And he wanted quarterbacks to always think like the coordinators. And you write your top five plays down, you write your top five plays, and they better blend.
Right.
And you've been around this team for a while now, you've seen different guys call plays. The reports are Josh is going to move on after this game. And I know everything's not official yet.
Right.
You probably don't want to talk about that. But how much have you absorbed from him? And your name has been brought up as a guy can elevate to the ultimate coordinator position.
Right.
You know what I'm saying without asking.
No, I got you.
Yeah. And, we're asking you without asking you.
Yeah, I got it. You know, I've been fortunate since I've got here, you know, with Billy O'Brien and then Josh, working for Josh for 6 years. I've been very it's been a great benefit to be around these guys because they definitely had different styles, and all coaches have different styles and different things that they bring. But it's been a great experience, and one in which it's been invaluable for me, and hopefully will be beneficial to me in whatever my role is in the future. And again, as you know, what we're going to say, and it's the truth, we're going to focus on today and the moment, and that's what we've done, and that's what I think Josh has done a great job of, is just focusing on the now. And And our players have done a great job of eliminating all the distractions this year, regardless of what they would have been.
Well, to talk about your current role in coaching receivers and being an offensive coach, how much work do you have to put in with a quarterback? Is there a lot of crossover there?
Yeah, I think, as Zoe can tell you, there's definitely a lot of interaction you have with the quarterbacks, and vice versa. There's a lot of interaction that our receivers have and that the coaches have, because you definitely have to be on the same page, and the communication's critical, and the timing's critical. So, you know, I think that it's always a very important part of the chemistry of your passing offenses to have those two groups be on the same page.
I'll ask you about Brandon Cooks. You know, there's a lot been talked about Brandon. You look on paper, that's one hell of a year from a statistical standpoint. Yep. But it seems there's times where there could be another play or two where the one last week, the deep drag against
Houston.
Talk about his work ethic and his ability to come back from not making that catch, but then to continue to have one hell of a game last week.
You know, I thought that it's awesome you said that, because if I looked at that game, there was a couple things that really stood out to me, and I told the receiver group that the next day, and one of the things that really stood out is when Brandon Cooks, we had the missed opportunity on the long ball that he wished he would have had back. He has such great resiliency and great mental toughness that when I looked in his eyes after that play, I knew for sure that he was going to come back with a lot of confidence in himself, and the team had a lot of confidence in him, and there was going to be, you know, just a lot of success that was going to happen after that. And I think that's a tribute to him. This guy's a mentally tough, resilient, hardworking, smart guy that I think that has been awesome for us this year.
You get the two big calls too, and also I thought the one that stood out to me was him battling on that comeback down the left side, right in front of your bench. I thought that was his best catch of the game.
Yeah, you know, that was a great play, and one we talk a lot about for those guys in these games that are tight. You're going to have to make a contested catch, and that's something he certainly did on that play, and I think that was a critical play for him, especially, you know, like you said, coming back after a missed opportunity earlier in the game, and then to make a contested catch that was a critical play in the game was really big for us.
You know, another guy who made a play late in the game was Philip Dorsett, who came in a trade, started the season. How would you assess his first year as a Patriot?
Well, you know, I would assess it on that play and say that this guy has stayed ready for us the entire year. He might have not, you know, had a high number of plays or a lot of production for us catch-wise, but what he's done is he's learned the offense. He knows what to do from a multiple position standpoint. We can put him anywhere, and he'll know exactly what to do as far as the details. And that was a play in which we took Hogan out because he was down the field running a route. And it was a critical play in the game, and he knew exactly what to do and really executed the detail of that play and then made a great play. So I think that's kind of how I see Philip Dorsett this year, as a guy that's been really reliable for us within his role.
How tough is it having Edelman and Amendola in the same meeting room, because they both think they're male models? Do you guys have any fun throwing it up like with the videos, like when they do the modeling shoots?
The greatest challenge of my job,
what socks they have on,
is to try to manage those two guys in a meeting room. Okay, and
Meathead one and Meathead two. Right?
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
And both those guys are awesome, and they what great work ethics and great personalities, and really they got an edge about them every day. There's a chip on their shoulder. They come to work and they're trying to prove people that they can play in this league every day, and that's kind of how they look at it. And it's been awesome to have both those guys in the room.
Patriots receivers coach Chad O'Shea. Chad, good luck on Sunday, and good luck with whatever the offseason brings.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, that was our interview Monday night with Chad O'Shea at XL Energy Center. That was opening night for Super Bowl 52. So you see all our Patriot fans out there?
Yeah, they look good. They look good in red and white.
Looking good.
Little blue, little red.
Everybody's arrived.
You know what I haven't seen?
What?
It's Friday. Eagles fans.
I've seen it if you look that way. Right there. Boom. Eagles fans.
Eh.
Not as many down here.
You know what's, you know.
I tell you though, we were in St. Paul last night, and I was talking to someone where we were.
Yeah.
We were eating at a restaurant that's next to a hotel, and someone told me, they said, man, there's a ton of Eagles fans down here.
Yeah, so, we thought the same thing last year about Atlanta. We didn't see any Atlanta fans down in Houston.
They showed up.
They'll be there.
Yeah.
Trust me. I think it's
like
be,
any other
I think it's going to be 60-40 in favor of Eagles fans compared to Patriots fans at this game.
All right. We're going to get a check of the headlines coming up here momentarily with Hardy. We're also going to hear from Josh McDaniels. Did a great interview with him in preparation for this game. And I think this is going to be his last game as a Patriots coach, so I don't think anyone's thinking otherwise. He's going to the Colts.
Yeah, tone of the quarterback. Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
Dude is going to the Colts. So we'll have that coming up. Want to remind you that our presenting sponsor all week long, our great friends, the Direct Federal Credit Union, making Radio Row Week possible here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Our thanks to them. And let's get a check of the headlines, Hardy. What do you say, bud? Ready?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, let's do headlines.
Sports Hub headlines.
Super Bowl 52, now just 2 days away. Patriots, Eagles in Minneapolis. Nick Foles still being called a backup quarterback. Nick Foles, does that bother you?
No, not really. I was going in the season and everything. I was backup quarterback, and obviously I've started quite a few games the last month. So,
sure.
But, you know, it doesn't really affect me, sort of in one ear, out the other. I know my position in the team, and I know what my job entitles, so that's all that matters.
Did he wear a mask, too?
No mask for Nick Foles.
Oh.
Rob Gronkowski also not wearing a mask, but now cleared through the league's concussion protocol. Says
Pats
he's good to go.
Pats by 1,000.
Good to go Sunday.
million.
Pats
Super
by
Bowl
million.
52. The game, of course, you'll hear on your flagship station for the Patriots, 98.5,
right.
The Sports Hub. Bruins beat the Blues last night 3-1. They got goals from David Krejci, Patrice Bergeron, and David Backes. They'll stay home to take on the Maple Leafs tomorrow night. Celtics home tonight to take on the Hawks. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell, they've got the call pregame at 7, tip-off 7:30, right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Headlines brought to you by Live Nation, Lynyrd Skynyrd and 38 Special, and Marshall Tucker Band Friday, July 20th, Xfinity Center. Tickets on sale now at livenation.com. I'm Hardy. I'm Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
No, not really.
Zoe and Beadle are live in Minneapolis, thanks to Direct Federal Credit Union on the home of the game, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand from opening night for Super Bowl 52. We are joined by Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniel. Second year in a row you've done this interview on opening night with us. So
quality.
Good luck.
Yeah.
It's good luck. It's something you should do every year now.
It is good luck. This is the thing I look forward to the most tonight. I've been waiting for it to go.
I see my jacket.
You want to talk? I know your jacket.
I like that, huh?
That, I don't own anything that looks
you're
like that.
You're going to be taking this with you to the Midwest maybe at some point? You never know.
No.
I'll hook you up. You deal with the quarterback every day, and
mm-hmm.
we just had Chad O'Shea on talking to him, and he says how the quarterback and the coaches work together with the receivers. You guys have had to morph, it seems, into a different team week in, week out. How impressive is this team compared to others that you've coached in this big game?
Yeah, the guys are – I mean, you can only do what those guys allow you to do, and that says a lot about the assistant coaches that get those guys ready. And then the players that we have now, they're so adaptable, and we've tried to create a foundation in our offense that if we need to use more receivers this week, then we're ready to do that. If we need to use a lot of tight ends, then we're ready to do that. If we need to use a bunch of backs and do it that way, then we're ready to do that. And those guys are the guys that allow that to happen. The quarterback, he just builds faith and trust in all those guys through his work and his repetitions and practice, and Tom believes in all of them. It gives him a lot of confidence going into each week. We work hard at the game plan, and he'll be ready to go. And whatever that needs to be from his mentality and his standpoint, I know he'll be ready to do it.
What is it about Philadelphia that's been keeping you up at night?
You know, they're well coached. Jimmy does a great job, and they're really deep from front to back. They play a lot of defensive linemen. They got a lot of guys that can create negative plays up front. I'd say that's really the strength of their team. Defense is, you know, that defensive front creates a lot of problems and a lot of third and longs that we got to avoid and stay out of. You know, the secondary, is, you know, there's not a lot of easy throws. They take those away. They don't want to give you a bunch of dink and dunks and let you just walk the ball down the field. So that'll be a challenge to try to find some of those, you know, short completions that maybe we can catch and do something with after we have the ball. And the linebackers are good tacklers, good blitzers, and they get a lot of protection from the front four because everybody's so concerned with them. So it's a great unit. It's the best team we've played, no doubt about it. They're good situationally, very good on third down. And that a lot of that has to do with how many negative plays they create on first and second down.
From a snap tracker standpoint, does their offense and their ability to hold the ball keep the defense fresh where you're not playing, say, 70, 80 snaps per game?
You're talking about us.
No, I'm talking about the Philadelphia offense.
Yeah.
Their ability to control the clock with the ball. I'm tired of talking RPO.
Yeah.
I don't like RPO.
I don't even know what that is.
Right, there you go. But you know what I'm saying? When they keep the ball, like the defense, if you're out there for 45, 50 snaps a game, that's a much fresher defense than saying go out win games for us like a Jacksonville.
No doubt. There'll be a tug of war on Sunday, I think.
Tug of war.
You know, we're going to try to be out there as many plays as we can. Last week, you know, we didn't get the play count up till a little later in the game. And, you know, look, our goal, we only take the field to do one thing, and that's score. So, you know, we got to go out there and make first downs. We got to earn the right to play into the 70s or maybe the 80s if you're lucky by what you do and how well you execute. So we're going to try to do that as much as we can so we can get out there, stay out there, and eventually maybe we wear them down a little bit in the second half. But you have to earn the right to do that.
Is your mom going to be biting her nails this week? And is your dad going to give you any advice?
She already is, and he is too. He talked to me before I came here.
I'll tell you what to say, what not to say.
He told me what not to say if I go on with Zolak.
My dad does the same thing. Hey, I'm 50 now, man. You don't have to worry about that anymore.
The look you just gave me.
Wow. What the hell are you hearing? Like, oh, damn, 50? Yeah. Wow, Zo.
50.
Yeah. In the Josh McDaniels coaching philosophy, what's better, starting the game with the football or having the football coming out of the half and going for the double score?
I'm a big fan of that, the latter. You know, you can't always guarantee that you're going to have it last in the second quarter.
You guys have done a pretty good job.
Yeah, I mean, you have to try to do the right thing when you get the ball, and having it last sometimes means starting in a different frame of mind when you get it with 5 minutes to go in the second quarter. It's not always you get it with a minute and a half and you go two-minute drill. You might have to do that with 4 minutes to go and kind of wind it down a little bit and then try to do something at the end.
So it didn't really apply in the AFC Championship game, but there was a touchdown prior to the end of the first half. How important was that in your mind in the grand scheme of that game?
I think those types of moments when you've kind of struggled a little bit and then all of a sudden you kind of get going, you kick it in, you get a couple plays, we got helped by the penalty, but get it down the field and then put it in right before halftime, and then you go in feeling, okay, like we figured something out, now we got to try to take advantage of that and move forward and try to build on it. So I think anytime you can create positive momentum going into the locker room at halftime, it's never a bad thing, and it just it makes the locker room a little bit, there's a little bit more life to it, you know, and you feel a little bit better about what you just did.
Last time you did this with us last year, the owner came on. He jumped on a headset. He said, hey, don't forget. He's not here.
Okay.
He goes, don't forget who signs the bottom right corner. How important has that guy been to, you know, having you here originally and then bringing you back after you had the experience out in Denver and then you went to another team with the Rams, and now you're back and probably ready to go for the next one? So.
He's incredible. I mean, I'll be forever indebted to him and his family, Robert and his family. They've given me a great opportunity here, give me everything I need as a coach. It's been great in terms of providing resources, providing leadership, wisdom to me. Same thing with Bill. You know, those guys are the reason that I'm here. And, you know, I hope that I give them everything I got every week. I know I'm going to try to do that this week. And it's been a blessing to be here.
We're talking with Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels. There's a television special, 30 for 30, called The Two Bills that's coming out later this week.
Nightmare.
And it's got Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick. And in that documentary, Bill Belichick gives a lot of praise to Bill Parcells, saying, you know, you always had time for your coordinators and your assistants. You always showed us things that were related to head coaching, even though we weren't head coaches, and say, hey, I want to make you aware of this, or I want to make you aware of that. Does he do that now as a head coach with whether it be you or Matt Patricia or anybody on the staff?
Yep, he absolutely does. He's very unselfish with that, with any wisdom or information that he has that may help us, whether that's as another title or whatever it may be, or just maybe to make us better in the role that we're in now. He's always there to serve us. He's always tried to help us improve. He's not selfish with what he's learned. He's done a great job of trying to grow us as a staff. We've got a lot of young guys on the staff that try to grow and get better each year, each week. And he does a tremendous job of mentoring all of us.
Speaking of TV specials, Tom Brady has Tom versus Time now. Did you know you're in Tom versus Time?
I've heard that, but I haven't seen anything about it. I mean, I haven't seen anything of it.
Yeah, I'm in it.
You're in it?
I'm in it. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I said like one word in it. But,
yeah, I was in it. Yeah, a bunch of us were in it. Just our voices.
If you ever need a quarterback coach, you call me. I got nine years for the pension from player standpoint.
I just want to see you waving a white towel sometime in the fourth quarter
Sunday,
with
okay?
Josie.
All right.
I got one more real question here because we were debating this on the air today. Tom's in his car on his phone after the Carolina game, and he's losing it, saying, "We're just the Patriots. We're going to roll out the helmets. Everyone just thinks we're going to win the games." This is after the game, after the loss.
Yeah.
And it's implied that he's talking to you.
No.
It wasn't you.
No.
And the subtitles say he's talking to Josh.
Yeah. It said, I thought it said Josh, and then there was 69 was the temperature, and we thought Gronkowski was in the car.
There was another time he was talking to you.
Stop it.
So you're in it.
Yeah.
You got to go watch it now.
Great.
Catch up.
I will.
All right, Josh. Good talking to you.
Thanks
for coming by.
Appreciate you guys.
Good luck.
Live from Minneapolis, it's Zoe and Beadle. Thanks to Direct Federal Credit Union. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand at 11:51.
You gonna play this at your show tomorrow, Hardy? Rocking.
I'm not spinning music tomorrow. We're hosting a sports talk program.
Yeah, but we play music during the break.
You should
don't
do just all talk.
Who's playing the music?
Do we play the music during the break?
Schmatz does.
We do. Put this on the playlist,
please.
Surrender. Well, I mean, you just want to do a talk-based show and just
Radzik just put it on the
it out for another four
at the top of his list of priorities. Wow, he gave you a look, Beetle.
He's so dismissive.
Well, he's had it. I don't think he liked having an order barked at him. I think that was
had it.
I think
so
that was 90%.
Trent and I are working on that. We're working on a playlist.
Good.
Can we consult, please?
Sure.
All right.
Have a whole list here.
Have a little meeting together.
Yep.
Our party tomorrow is happening.
DJ Cool, let me clear my throat.
The party here, let me tell the fan, let me turn around here.
Turn around,
tell everybody here.
What are you guys doing tomorrow?
First of all, should we have them like yell so people
can
hear?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
We all yell
for the Patriots fans.
Yeah, let's hear it.
There you go, let's go. There we go. Where are you going tomorrow?
They're going to Buffalo Wild Wings at the University of Minnesota.
Let's go Wild Wings. Let's go Wild Wings.
Let's go Wild Wings. No reservations. Get there early. We're going to be at the Buffalo Wild Wings of the University of Minnesota campus. Hardy and Big Jim broadcast live appearances with Felger, Maz, Zoe, and I, and other special guests along the way. All sponsored
I'll
by Coors
say
Light.
Hi.
Of course, there'll be plenty of Coors Light for you, Zoe.
I know. No.
Great food, prizes. We'll get you pumped for the big game.
Day
following
game, no
that,
drinking.
Bruins game will be on there tomorrow night.
Ooh.
They'll put the Bruins games on the TVs. So we'll have a Boston crowd there, and then the Bruins will be on. Party starts at 1 o'clock. I was told today they open at 11 a.m., which means you can actually make your way in at 11 a.m. That's my tip. That's my pro tip right there. Get there as early as possible. As Tom Brady once said, start drinking early.
Get hydrated.
Okay? Tomorrow. We'll start the party at 1 o'clock. Goes until 5:30 Central. It hits capacity, so be there early. Be there. Look at the crowd we have. Look at these Pats fans.
Big crowd.
A lot of Pats fans here.
Nice.
Yeah. Like it. It's good.
Why do men see the need or feel the need to wear a bow tie? Does it make them more important or stick out more?
They think they look good. They think that they look good.
Look like a pinhead.
Yes.
Yeah, look like an absolute pinhead.
Right. Party tomorrow.
Yep.
Game on Sunday.
Yep.
What better weekend could you have if you're in Minnesota?
Could beat it. I mean, I hope you stay warm. I mean, that's going to be an issue, right? If you're going to go out at night or you're going to be standing in line anywhere or you really don't want to be outside Buffalo Wild Wings, you know, because there's going to be a cutoff limit, right? There are barcodes.
Yeah, they can only fit so many people in there.
An X amount of people in there.
Right.
The other one's got to stand outside, and it's pretty freaking cold.
It's
I can't even make the walk from the car.
It's chilly here. Well, it was.
You know what I mean, my chest.
When you got here early this morning, and I was up, but it was 8 below.
Right.
About 20 below wind chill.
Right.
It's chilly here.
Yeah.
It's brisk.
Right.
Stings the nostrils.
Right.
Lungs freeze.
We've seen a lot of fun things on Radio Row today.
We sure have.
Sean Payton was here, head coach of the of the Saints.
A lot of fun.
His entourage had 12 people in it.
It's crazy. Accounted. For what?
12 people.
That's what pisses me off. Is somebody big? Russ Wilson came in yesterday.
He had like
seven people trailing him.
It was seven?
Yeah.
I saw Drew Brees walk in. I think he was by himself.
Drew Brees is here. Sean Payton is here.
But Sean Payton had 12 people.
Marcus Mariota is here today on Radio Row, and his handler came over at the start of our show today.
And took one peek at
the logo. Talked to our producers and said, oh, we have Marcus Mariota here. Would you like to have him on? And we said, they said, he's got an availability right now. We would have taken him right at the start of the show. And we said, yeah, sure, we'll do it. And then she turned around, looked at the set, looked at our tablecloth draped over the table. It's got a huge Patriots logo on it. She looked at it and goes, and then she looks up and reads the banner behind us that says the New England Patriots Radio Network. And she goes, yeah, I'm really sorry. I don't think he's going to be able to go on with you. And well, she, like, ran away.
That's bad on her part.
Like, okay.
We could have talked about John Robinson, the way the teams have been built, the way it's trending, and Mike Vrabel. Like, all the Patriot ties to the organization.
And that's not on him. I mean, that's not on the player.
Talk to a random station over in San Francisco.
The handler that's just afraid to, I don't know, talk to the person she's handling.
You know what's great is, like, little things bug me, like ordering dessert when you're out to eat with people of 10.
Let me
or
tell
more.
You something.
Okay.
That was great last night. Everybody ordered dessert. And we were at our dinner last night. Zoe hates the dessert order. Desserts got ordered last night?
At least three that I remember.
Three?
Like at our 10. Table.
Oh,
at our
yeah.
table.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there were multiple tables.
Oh, yeah. And so guess who had bites?
I took a bite of the banana.
Banana cream pie.
That was
oh, yeah. I heard someone going, oh, it's like the bananas Foster packed into the middle. So, oh, yeah. So good.
It was so delicious. Uh-huh. How would somebody eat that whole thing?
I don't know. You couldn't.
Now,
yeah, there's no way.
That's what bothers me. What really has bothered Beetle for the last 5 days is the KNBR San Francisco radio
station. This banner is pissing me off. I'm going to take a picture of it right now, and I'll post it so you guys can see what's driving me crazy. This is what I'm looking at. I'm looking in this direction all week.
How long have you worked in radio?
Oh, I don't know, 10 years?
So they have both teams, the San Francisco Giants and the San Francisco 49ers, as their flagship. So to save money as a radio station, you slap both logos on there. To sort of have the neutral banner. So baseball season, you roll that banner out. Football season, roll the same banner out. Beetle likes
I just
fact
tweeted
that
it.
Just a football one.
I just tweeted it. Well, no. You're at the Super Bowl. You're obviously spending the money to go to the Super Bowl and cover it. Look at our setup. I mean, it has a giant Patriots 98.5 banner. The tablecloth that is draped over the table. Very visible. Patriots Radio Network, 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's all Patriots branded stuff.
Yeah.
If I look straight across, I see the station from San Francisco, KNBR, sports station in San Fran. And there is a 49ers logo buried on the banner. But all I've been looking at all week is this Giants, San Francisco Giants baseball logo.
Because they're cheap. They get one banner made and that's it.
Yes.
Take that banner with you.
That's cheap.
Yeah,
they're not doing it. They're not doing it right.
I agree.
It's just, I don't know, it's Friday, and this is now irritating me now.
Okay. I've
been looking at that stupid banner all week.
All right.
Giants. It'd be like if we showed up with a Bruins banner and put the Bruins banner out. Oh, that's smart. Yeah, we're home of the Bruins.
I would have brought that one.
We're home of the Bruins. Hey, we're the home of the Boston Celtics. Awesome. What does that have to do with the Super Bowl?
Not a lot.
Right.
You know what really blow their minds? We brought a Revs banner. Be like, oh, what? Home of the Revs, baby.
Or the home of the Revs.
Home of the Revs.
So it makes you think, though, Garoppolo here, seeing that San Fran thing. I heard not, because I got some inside intel from Sean in Chicago. Jimmy Garoppolo is currently back in his hometown of Arlington Heights, Chicago, playing pickup basketball games at night in the men's league.
Jimmy
just
is?
Just to stay in shape. Yep.
He's
people showing up at the gym just to see Garoppolo.
He's a normal guy. Just wait, people are showing up there to watch him play
men? Kids are hearing now. Like, the kids are like,
sucks.
Jimmy Garoppolo's back. Now, you know, he's big now. Big now back in Chicago. Kick to make some money here today.
His life is going to change.
Oh, yeah.
His life is really going to change. I wonder if he knows it's coming. I actually heard a story. I heard a story from someone who was close to both of the quarterbacks of the New England Patriots earlier this year. And This is okay because Jimmy got traded now. Jimmy said something about going to the supermarket. And Brady was standing there. This happened in the locker room. And Brady said, supermarket? Yeah, I remember those days of being able to go to the supermarket. And Jimmy had no idea why he didn't. He was like, what do you mean? And Brady's like, dude, I haven't been to a supermarket in years. I haven't stopped by the old Whole Foods by my house in forever. And he couldn't really fully understand why he couldn't do that. And he's like, I get mobbed, so I can't really do that anymore. And Jimmy was like, really? Jimmy was kind of naive to the fact that Tom Brady would have a hard time just going out around Boston,
well,
strolling through the aisles of the supermarket.
And I understand that, but Brady also does go out. And he does. He'll do the hoodie. He'll do the baseball cap.
Yeah.
That, seen him out, right?
Now, do you remember?
People see him around.
Remember 2 years ago when he did the not real candy and he had the big mask on, the big skeleton hood? That you told me that was the last time he's been in a actual Whole Foods or a food store.
Okay.
I mean, they
it was
got
when he was dressed up in the costume.
Yeah, when he put the thing on. And he loves Halloween. The reason he loves Halloween is because he puts full-on garb on, and he can just go out, and nobody has a clue who the hell he is.
Gotcha.
Well, I can tell you the first time I ever saw Tom Brady in person was in the aisles of Stop and Shop, Newport Ave, North Quincy, Easter Sunday, circa 2004.
And you said, hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom. How are you? I did. I talked to him. Good guy. We comped his order because he needed free stuff,
what?
Obviously.
Were you in a position to do that?
Oh, no, management did.
I was going to say. They call that empowerment in certain corporate circles. You know, employees are empowered to make split-second decisions. I'd be surprised, though, if that happened in a grocery store.
He didn't pay.
Yeah.
He did not. That was after – well, no, that probably was 03 because he had won two Super Bowls at that point.
Hey, are we doing this? Because I just got a tweet.
What?
You guys have to sing Roll with the Changes today.
Yeah.
You did it last year, and it worked. Do it again.
We're going to do it at 1 o'clock.
1:20.
1:20?
1:20.
Okay, 1:20.
It's so embarrassing.
What do you mean it's embarrassing? There's so many more people close to us this year, too.
There's so many more people. People can't hear the music. They don't know what we're doing. We got other radio stations very close by. Right, we're going to be disrupted.
It's noontime on a Friday. We've got Josie coming up right now. But we will sing. Hang on. Hang
Phil
on.
Perry, sit down and just wait. Just wait for a
Jeez.
Second. Quit grabbing stuff. Everybody's got the ass.
Jeez.
How many arguments and or fights have you seen this week on Radio Raw?
Back up some
I've seen
you.
Zero in you. Years past. I've seen three so far this week.
Might have one with Phil Perry coming up momentarily.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look at him.
It's a nice jacket, Phil. Got your little elbow pads on.
Is that, what is that?
Felt? Oh, it is now.
Yeah, we'll talk about this jacket in a minute.
How's your NBC Sports Boston friends? That's one guy walking around with a bow tie. So he and Holly, the only two ties in the whole building with a bow tie on. It's a good look.
So obviously doesn't like that look.
I don't like
90
don't,
seconds.
I don't
no
like
commercials.
The like trying too hard. You know what I mean?
And we're back from Radio Row.